Recorded Books presents Gunpowder and Embers by John Ringo, Casey Ezell, and Christopher L. Smith. Narrated by Matt Godfrey. Prologue. Ariel felt excitement skitter along her nerves as her mother smoothed her hair back with trembling fingers.
"So beautiful,"
her mother whispered in her roughened, wasted voice.
"Your hair like queen silk, so soft and full, dark like your eyes, like the finest warrior's chitin."
"Thank you, mother," Ariel said.
Despite the illogic of emotions, something warm and joyous curled within her breast at her mother's words. For once, the older woman was noticing Ariel, really paying attention to her. Normally, she was far too busy fighting to complete her tasks and win her spot in the larvae chamber, which was a good thing. The colony needed the full efforts of Ariel's mother and all of the other acolytes in order to thrive. And full effort it was, Ariel thought. The number of holy warriors, workers, and drones had grown considerably recently. The demand for power, and therefore acolyte labor, had increased exponentially. Ariel herself had begun working shortly after she could walk. Her mother had taught her to read, and then she'd been shown to the turban chamber to assist the acolytes there. She'd started by cleaning and fetching things for the adults, and as her body and mind had developed, she'd taken over responsibility for the upkeep and maintenance of the all-important turbans. The turbans produced the electricity that fed the colony. Without power, there would be no nest, and the queen would deny them her blessings and protection, and the colony would die. Any who escaped would be reduced to grubbing in the dirt like the unbelievers. She'd been taught that this could not be allowed to happen. So as the older acolytes had faded away, Ariel had naturally stepped into their roles. This was the order of things. Only the hardest, most successful workers were allowed into the bliss of the larvae chamber. The others, which all too frequently included both of Ariel's parents, they were growing too frail to be truly useful, were left to suffer the tremors and pains of being left wanting. Not today, though. Today, Ariel's mother would not only be there in the chamber, she would have a prime position from which to receive the child's blessing. In fact, the only person better placed than Ariel's mother would be Ariel herself. For today was Ariel's first blessing. She had come of age and could finally, at 16 years old, take her place as an adult working for the good of the colony.
"I am ready," Ariel said, smoothing her hands down the front of her smock-like garment.
Though not nearly as fine as queen silk, the adult tunic was far smoother and better fitting than anything she'd been allowed to wear as a juvenile. It had been made from true silk, spun by specialized workers who had emerged from metamorphoses with a specialized gland on their forelegs. Only useful adults wore true silk. Juvenile humans made do with cast-offs and whatever they could scrounge from plant fibers. That same silk lined the tunnel they followed toward the heart of the colony, dimming the lights shining at distant intervals along the top of the walls. All around them, faces peered out of doorways and alcoves. Hungry, longing looks creased the countenances of those other acolytes following their progress. Some called out to Ariel's mother. Some, mostly children she knew or had taught, watched with wide eyes. Some merely fell in behind Ariel, hoping to be allowed to be part of the ceremony. Ariel didn't know if they'd be successful or not. She'd never seen a child's blessing before. As they neared the chamber, the compound eyes of the holy warriors began to replace the hollowed, hungry stare of human acolytes. As was proper, Ariel dropped her gaze to the floor and concentrated on following her mother through the twisting, silk-lined tunnels. The sound of mandibles clicking behind her made Ariel very glad that her mother had been thorough anointing Ariel's new clothing. Without the proper scent, the holy warriors wouldn't recognize her as an acolyte, and they would attack to protect the colony. Especially this deep, near the precious children and the almighty queen. Soon, they came to the massive double doors leading to the chamber.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?